We've all been greatly distressed by the numbers of accidents, the numbers of people who are dying and being injured on our roads since the start of the year. The numbers are unfortunately going on in the wrong direction. In response to that, the Gardaí are being looked to try and address the situation. And the news is that there'll be a substantial increase in the number of speed and safety cameras on Irish roads as the Gardaí Commissioner pledged to crack down on the number of drivers who speed. Drew Harris said there are plans to bring in more than 100 static cameras and average speed traffic cameras over the next year following that surge in road fatalities in the last year. He told the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Transport that there are plans to increase the number of road police in Gardaí to 700 by the end of the year. There are currently 623 officers working in the unit. So far this year, of course, 72 people have lost their lives on Irish roads. And last month, Mr. Harris rolled out a new plan that involves all frontline Gardaí dedicating 30 minutes of their shift to roads policing. There's been a 17% increase on those detected driving under the influence and a 30% increase in the number of vehicles seized in that time. It also emerged that 25% of people killed on Irish roads were not wearing a seatbelt. With me on the line to talk about this is a member of that committee, Fianna Fáil Senator Gerry Horkin. Gerry, good morning to you and thanks for joining us in the programme.
Good morning, Gerry. How are you?
Good, very good. It's clear more needs to be done. It's clear the Gardaí are responding. But what did you make of Drew Harris's comments about more speed cameras being part of the solution to try and curb speeding on our roads?
Well, I think everything we need, like the evidence is that speeding is the single biggest contributor to fatalities, more than alcohol, more than drugs, more than mobile phone use, and that if we all slow down, you are more likely to have a less damaging accident if you're slower than if you're faster. So the problem is, you know, he made the point that if you hit somebody at 50 kilometres an hour, they have a 50% chance of surviving. If you hit them at 60 kilometres an hour, they have only a 10% chance of surviving. So it's a big difference for 10 kilometres an hour. Obviously, that's if you're dealing with pedestrians, but equally we talked about that seatbelt use. You mentioned it there yourself. It's a staggering statistic that it doesn't mean that 25% of people are not wearing seatbelts, but that 25% of fatalities were not wearing seatbelts. Now, maybe the seatbelt wouldn't have saved them, but why would you not wear a seatbelt?
I remember when I was younger, nobody, to my mind, wore seatbelts. They were just an adornment in the car that you ignored. But over the years, it became socially unacceptable to sit into a car and not wear a seatbelt. There seems to have been massive slippage over the last couple of years. And I can't understand why, but there seems to be a massive slippage.
I don't understand it either. I mean, I get, you know, I happened to be abroad one time and I saw somebody and they had the seatbelt plugged in all the time and they just sat in the seatbelt to stop the beeping. But I don't understand why you wouldn't wear a seatbelt. The evidence is there that whatever, even a small tip, a seatbelt can do a huge difference in terms of saving you. There are horrific examples of where people have been involved with crashes and they've gone straight out through the windscreen and been found, you know, in a field hundreds of metres away. The impact we all have in driving a big lump of metal with a lot of power in it, I don't think all of us, and I drive as much as anybody else, but probably a little bit less than some people, but I certainly drive and I've driven long distances, and you don't maybe appreciate that you're in a very powerful machine with a lot of capacity to do damage if it's not treated correctly. I think it's really important that we appreciate, you know, even the shortest of journeys and an awful lot of accidents actually happen within a mile or two of your house, because it's when people are distracted, they're nearly home, they're kind of very familiar with the area, they're maybe thinking about their shopping or thinking about picking somebody up, or they're making a text message, or they're doing things. It's distracted driving was a big emphasis from yesterday. Distracted driving is a huge problem. Put the phone down. And we're all wedded to our phones in different ways. I see it in the Oireachtas, people sitting in the chamber, you know, wedded to their phone, looking for messages, looking to contact people, looking for whatever, social media. We all do it. But it's not a good thing to be doing when you're driving. Very dangerous.
I have this incredible situation, as evidenced by the Journal report this week, that Irish garages have been selling devices called beep stoppers aimed at disabling car systems that beep when seatbelts are not worn while driving. Now, Amazon has removed spare seatbelt buckles from its store because they could be used to circumvent. So people are actually spending money to avoid some people to avoid having to
put on a seatbelt. And I mean, I heard from someone else yesterday that people are kind of going to car repair places or kind of scrap yards and getting old seatbelts and just plugging in the metal bit into the device that stops, you know, the connector and not allowing so the beep stop. Now, it is just people need to we all need to realise that seatbelts are not there as some kind of fashion accessory. They're not there, you know, as a spare part. We should be using them. Hopefully, we never need them. Like a fire escape in a building, you hope it's never needed, but you still need to have one in case it is. The seatbelt is there. Any of us may have had to jam on occasionally, and you'll feel the jolt. And that's what it's there for. It's there to stop us going through the windscreen. It's there to stop us having a worse accident or incident than we otherwise would have. And I just don't understand why anybody would go to the effort. And indeed, I know they're not expensive, but why you'd go to a shop and pay this money to stop the beeping seatbelt and drive around as if we all maybe think we're invincible, but actually we're not. And unfortunately, the figures show that. I was at a conference in Dublin last month. 117 people a day, a transport conference, die in the US. Every single day, 117 people die in the US. Obviously, the numbers are much bigger. People die on the roads, and nobody means to die on the roads. Nobody's going out there trying to die on the roads. It happens all the time, unfortunately. And one death is too many, but the number we've had this year is... as you said already, it's in the wrong direction. There's too many of them.
Yeah. Will it work? Will the extra speed cameras, will the extra Gardaí on the roads, will the enforcement go some way to addressing this, to changing our behaviour, which seems to have slackened off in the last number of years, driver behaviour, whether it's carelessness or anything else?
I think post-COVID and the evidence both from the Road Safety Authority and the Gardaí is telling us that people after COVID probably wanted to get back out, very understandably, do a bit more travelling, do a bit more driving, missed the driving that they could have done during COVID, and people have kind of just not, the focus isn't there. I remember Seamus Brennan brought in penalty points, was the TD in my area, and the Minister for Transport at the time, penalty points came in, and overnight, literally within 2 or 3 months of it being implemented, road deaths fell very substantially because we were all more conscious of getting penalty points. I suppose cameras, if they're there and they're collecting points, if you've got 3 points or 6 points or 9 points, obviously we all prefer to have 0 points. The closer you get to being taken off the road might be a deterrent for some people. But the Gardaí point out, yes, the Gardaí point out that there's a cohort of people out there who basically will ignore all rules, and that they need, you know, people who are driving without tax, without NCT, without a driving license, without insurance, underage, never having passed a test in their lives. There are people being found on a daily basis. There are, I think, almost 10,000 cars seized in the last year for various things. These are cars were taken off the driver on the side of the road because of various offences, including no insurance, no tax, no driver licence, and other offences. And that's a lot of people not complying. And we have more cars, we have a bigger population than ever in the history of the state. And we have more cars in the history of the state. We have more people driving. We have people driving longer distances. And I think we all need to realise. And you know, everybody can do it right or do it wrong. I made the point about in plenty of areas, people are breaking red lights and people are blocking bus lanes in urban areas. But equally, in more rural areas, people are definitely speeding and are driving at inappropriate levels. There is a speed limit review, which is talking about bringing down some of those speed limits of 80 down to lower levels on roads that really are not sustainable for 80. But I think we all need to just realise when we're in our cars, we're driving a very big lump of metal with a lot of power in it, and when things go wrong, they go wrong really quickly. And
yeah, they certainly do. You know, that's for sure.
I don't want any member of my family or friends to be caught up in an accident, or for anyone to cause an accident. And you know, nobody tries to cause an accident, but if you're driving with drugs in your system, if you're driving with excess alcohol in your system, if you're driving, you know, when you're really tired, if you're driving with a defective car, if you're going well beyond the speed limit, and it may not be the speed limit as such. I mean, if you're driving in really bad rain or snow, just because it says you can do 100 on the road sign doesn't mean you should be doing 100 on the road because it says the limit is that. We all need to adjust for the type of driving, the type of roads, the type of traffic. I happened to be on the M50 yesterday, and we have now a variable speed limit sign where they tell you at different times in traffic to reduce it from 100 to 80 to 60. and I went down to the 60 limit, and almost everybody was going past me because I don't think they're used to these new variable speed
limits.
It'll
take time for them to come in and to adjust behaviour, that's for sure.
People have to kind of cop to it. But I suppose as you get penalty points in your coming in the door, people go, oh, you know, it's a cost and it's a deterrent. I hope in 5 or 10 years' time we'd have technology in our cars that as you drive off a motorway onto a regional road or a national road, that your car just automatically says, hold on a second, we're slowing down to 100. We're going through villages, we slow down to 50. Going into housing estates, we slow down to 30.
It has to go, that's for sure.
It'll probably all be there, but you know, it'll take a while for that technology to even be implemented, and then there'll be lots of cars in the system that don't have the capability of using that technology. But you'd like to think in future years technology will solve a lot of this, so that we don't need to be deploying Gardaí and deploying speed vans everywhere, which is very expensive.
It is. Jerry, if I can ask you finally,
the mentality is about 4 million, I think.
Yeah, there you go. That tells its own story financially. Jerry, can I ask you finally, the shocking news coming from Slovakia yesterday, Prime Minister Robert Fico shot 5 times. Thankfully, he has survived and is in a stable condition after his operation. But he had to go under several hours of surgery. The Cian Cora Seán Fairilleadh was speaking this morning and has said he is very worried attacks like that could eventually happen here. He said there's been a coarsening of our public debate and we're seeing all sorts of activity on social media. The inevitable conclusion, the progression of that sort of thing is what we saw last September when there was protests outside the Dáil, gallows and pollsters outside Leinster House. And he said that, you know, we need to be very careful and we need to check this sort of situation before things get as serious here. What's your view on what he said?
Well, I happened to be in Leinster House the night of the Dublin riots, and the event we were at was suspended or terminated halfway through the event. We were told to evacuate the building and go home as fast as we could because there was potential that the riots that were on O'Connell Street at the time would aim for, like in America, aiming for Capitol Hill, they'd aim for Leinster House, and then we might end up trapped inside for the night or whatever. Thankfully that didn't happen, but you know, it is, I first ran for election in 1999, I was first a councillor in 2003, I'm a long time around the system, and I've never seen it as kind of tense and as much, you know, there was always a level of, you know, if you were people of a different party wouldn't particularly like the party you're in or whatever, but there was never the idea that physical violence and real threats to people's existence and their families' existence is much more common. And I think social media, you know, there's lots of positives about social media, but there's a huge, the anonymity, the fact that people can say things and say really vile things. I've had vile things, you know, said to me by completely anonymous people, like, you know, we will come and kill you stuff. But, you know, it's, thankfully it didn't happen, but, you know, it's, and I don't think that people maybe all saying it realise what they're saying and realise the impact it may have on the people that they're saying it to.
Words matter in this sort of situation. Yeah. With a Green Party councillor in Dublin attacked as she was putting up posters for the forthcoming local elections.
I mean, and I would have run in 2009 in the local elections, which was in the middle of the crash and everything else, and it wouldn't have been an easy time to be a Fianna Fáil councillor at the time or a Fianna Fáil candidate. And there was certainly levels of kind of get away from my property kind of stuff, but it has harshened, and I think some people are emboldened by what they see, and they think that it's normalising what wasn't and shouldn't and can't ever be seen as normal, but it's being normalised by some of what's on social media. I've been in Bratislava twice. I was there when Slovakia had the presidency of the EU back in 2016. I was there actually the same earlier in that year on a personal trip. It's a very, you would think, a very small, compact European city. It's no different than London or, you know, lots of other cities or Dublin or Paris or, you know, or lots of small, because it's quite a small city, and it's a very, and you'd feel it to be a very safe city. It's not like you're going into some war-torn conflict zone. It's a normal European city, a capital of an EU country, and the idea that this would happen is absolutely shocking. But then again, Ronald Reagan had an attempted assassination on him. The Pope had an attempted assassination on him. These things can happen, but it can't be ever acceptable. And I think it would damage political life if politicians generally feel that they can't mix with the public for fear of one, you know, person coming at them, because I think what we've always had in Ireland is a great accessibility between councillors, TDs, senators.
They're within arm's reach, and that increases the danger.
That I feel that I can walk out of Leinster House and walk down Molesworth Street, down Grafton Street, meet people, talk to people, chat to people, go to a restaurant, go to a pub, whatever it happens to be, and that we are very accessible. In fact, I think it's one of the strengths of Irish politics that we are so accessible. But, and I would never like it to change, but if people feel under threat and people feel that they're not safe going places, they'll stop going places, and then that's everybody's detriment, because the public won't get the access to the politicians that they're used to, and and equally the politicians won't be able to hear from the public the way that they need to and that they want to. And we know of TDs who have said now that they've changed how they operate their constituency offices. They won't leave their staff there on their own, so they either have two staff there or no staff there, which reduces the number of hours, because they can't leave one on their own for fear that somebody might come in even when the TD's not there and maybe go for the staff. And none of that can be considered acceptable in this country or in any country, but particularly in our own country, which we're responsible for. You know, all of us need to realise anybody going into public life is going in for the right reasons. You mightn't agree with them, but they are going in for the right reasons. They're going in because they want to make change in the community, represent their
community,
and improve things. And
all right.
Of all parties and none, you know.
Yeah, Jerry, we're going to have to leave it there, but thanks very much for taking time to talk to us on the programme this morning. That is Fianna Fáil Senator talking to us on the programme, Jerry Horkin, about road safety, about what Drew Harris said yesterday. What are your views on that? More speed cameras on the way, more enforcement on the way, seatbelt use.